5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find out what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am Crystal Ricks, your host, and with me is the other host,
Barry Ricks.
This guy right here.
I'm being like a wrestler.
That was officially the most exciting intro we've ever done.
Yeah, a dad.
And a mom.
Yeah.
So we have four kids, 7, 5, 3, and 1.
All having birthdays soon.
You have to announce that every time.
I do. Their birthdays are like in a month.
I know.
Like three of the four.
I can't wait to talk about planning birthdays because we haven't.
Ooh, yeah. Planning birthdays.
I know. It's going to be like the day before.
Ice cream, cake. Scary clown.
Done. Do people actually get clowns still?
I don't know. Do you? If you're a person and you've gotten a clown for a birthday party, let us know.
Have you ever been to a birthday party with clowns?
I've been to a birthday party not with a clown, but with a
musician.
A magician.
That's cool still.
Yeah.
I think magicians are cool.
Magicians are cool.
Clowns, I don't know.
But see,
they're
like,
not scary to
some
me.
Clowns are magicians, though. They're
That's
like,
true.
They're multi-talented.
Yeah, they're creepy and fun.
That's right.
Anyway, so that'll be next month, but for now, our kids are the ages that they are.
That's true. That like usually happens until they have a birthday.
Yes. So, let's talk about this week.
Stories of the week!
Woo! Okay, so, quick one. I gotta start.
Okay.
I was doing our three-year-old's hair, and she's just sitting there, and all of a sudden she goes, "Mommy, I'm wearing woman panties."
Don't say that in public.
You would not believe the spectrum of thoughts that went through my head as what she could possibly mean. And I was like, am I gonna have to talk to her about woman panties?
Yeah.
I don't know. And so I was like, oh, woman panties? What do you mean? And finally she was like, look, I'm wearing these, and showed me. And she's wearing Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Wonder Woman panties.
She's wearing woman panties. Wonder Woman panties.
That sounds so much better than woman panties.
That's right.
So, there you go. Innocent three-year-old. Sounded a little scandalous.
Yeah, that's okay. Often their weird speeches are like that, right?
I know, so funny.
So, we're always talking about how we're lacking in sleep, right?
Right.
We're always tired.
Always.
We bought a new mattress! Woo!
Yay!
Just, side note, it's exciting to me.
It's like the most exciting thing that's ever happened.
But we bought it online, and so it will be here next Saturday. So we'll have slept on it for one night before our next time we record, so we'll let you know.
Now, what's funny is, okay, our mattress we bought used for $70 9 years ago.
Yeah, that's how old our mattress is.
And when we tell people, it's like telling them that
we murdered someone.
I know, we're going to join a cult. They're like, what? How could you do that? And I'm like, do people buy mattresses that often?
According to Jim Gaffigan, we are in a cult.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
But it's just so funny. Like, are people really dumping that much money into their bed?
Yeah.
That it's shocking?
I'm sorry. I have a really hard time dumping thousands of dollars on a bed, even though you use it every night, right? But it's hard for me.
I know. We went to the furniture store to look for a new mattress because we have the crummiest of all crummy mattresses.
That's why we're tired all the time.
And we're parents.
So
we're looking at this, like, to us, outrageously expensive mattress. Like $2,000. And this lady's like, well, I'm not trying to sell you, but come try this one. And she basically laid us on a cloud and sang us magical unicorn
lullabies. And we saw unicorns and rainbows.
It was seriously, like, it's evil. She's evil. because now it was a $4,000 mattress, but now nothing else will ever compare to this beautiful 5-minute experience that we had.
We don't know. Maybe our mattress we ordered will be a cloud.
It felt like we were in therapy because we were both laying back on the bed and she's just sitting there speaking calmly to us. And in the background, our kids are diving from mattress to mattress all over the store. And we're like, oh, sorry. And she's like, no, just let it go. Just relax. And so we didn't even have to pay attention to our kids. And I just, so now we got a significantly cheaper mattress online. And I'm just worried because now I know what heaven feels like. And we're going to be sleeping on what, I don't know what's next. What's under heaven?
Earth.
It's just sad. It's sad to me. But I am excited. Sorry, I didn't mean to kill your thunder.
Yeah, jeez.
Kill your thunder. I killed it.
Kill your killer thunder.
I am. I stole your thunder.
That's right.
But still, speaking of being tired, not just our mattress, but the worst part about summertime is that blasted sun that never goes down.
Curse you, sun!
Have we talked about that? We decided, because we were, every night was like, yelling match, just get in bed. But the kids are like, but it's still sunny outside. And so we finally, we bumped up their bedtime for an hour later than usual. So now their bedtime's 8:30, but generally it's like 9, which is so frustrating. Because we used to like put them in bed, watch some TV and snuggle. And now we put them in bed and we're like, it's bedtime. Let's go to bed.
Yeah.
So we've killed all of our alone time. Like, it's dead. It's gone.
Like, an hour plus of our alone time is gone.
I know. And you can't watch a movie at 9.
Not as parents, anyway.
I know. You would end at, like, 11 o'clock.
You're
that's
just,
so late for me.
What?
So, that's been a bummer. I kind of hope in wintertime something magical will happen and they'll want to go to bed early again.
Well, we said that their bedtimes would go back to normal when school started.
Yeah. But what's nice is we don't yell as much, right? Do you feel that way? Because we've said it. The rule is we say, okay, TV off at 7:30 and you go back into your rooms and you can play. And if you come out, you're going to bed. Although we're not very firm on that rule. We're always like, come out one more time. Like 10 times. But,
because we don't want to get up.
We're so lazy. It's so hard. But anyway, that's been my complaint about summer.
Yep.
But I guess it's nice. They play together. That's nice.
Yeah. So we made a comment about Jim Gaffigan. And we started listening to his, and he's a comedian, for those of you that don't know who he is. And we started listening to his book that he came out called Dad is Fat.
It's awesome.
And it's all about like him being a dad and a parent and the observations he's made as a parent and what parenting is really like. And holy cow, he nails so many things just right on the head. And like we were listening. We had a, you know, hour plus drive. And so we're like, oh, let's just start listening to that. And so we did. And we were just crying because we were laughing so hard on this car ride. And it was just like, Chris was like, my mascara is running. It's running. But it's super funny. So I would fully, you know, totally suggest this book called Dad is Fat by Jim Gaffigan. If you're a parent.
If you're not a parent, I don't think you would get it.
You wouldn't get half of the
you
stuff.
You wouldn't appreciate it.
Yeah, that's probably better. So if you're a parent, you should listen to that or read it.
Right. But he talks about how parenting is a cult. That's but, what it came around.
Yeah, he talks how parenting is actually a cult.
Yeah.
So if you want to understand what that means,
basically you need worship to pick our up, children.
You need to pick up the book. But yeah, so there you go. Recommendation from the clown car.
Right. Well, and a few weeks ago, subject change, just saying.
Total change.
We had talked about gender roles with kids.
Yes.
And so this week, my girls have gotten back into watching My Little Pony.
Yes, I love My Little Pony.
Yeah, I love it so much more than the other show. Okay, sub story. We're going back.
I love My Little Pony, though. I think it's funny.
I know, but I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about something else. So my little brother came over several weeks ago.
My little brother.
My little pony. My little brother. But he came over a few weeks ago, and for some reason, he mentioned the show that he used to love as a kid called Yu-Gi-Oh! And he was talking it up like it was the greatest show ever created in the history of all television. And so our son was like, hey, that sounds cool.
That's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. And so he started watching it, and then our life just crumbled before our eyes. Because that's all they've watched for the last month.
The material is not necessarily bad. The voice acting is
Oh my gosh. It's horrific. Like an anime, but
it's very bad dubbing.
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, because there's like the sleazy dressed girl in it that I hate. She's trampy.
Mai. I think her name's Mai.
Don't think about it. Get her out of your head. And then so, I don't know. It's just horrible. But that's all we've watched. And he's got our girls obsessed with it. And so all we talk about and do is Yu-Gi-Oh! And then they want to start collecting the cards because it comes with a card game.
But have you noticed they switched back now? Now they're back on Pokemon.
But now they're on My Little Pony. I want to foster this. Oh, yeah. I love My Little Pony.
I love My Little Pony.
It's funny and it has music. But anyway.
Let's buy them stuff. So let's force it on them.
Right. That's good branding. But so back to My Little Pony is the other day, Grayson, our 7-year-old, came up to me trepidatiously and was like, Mom, can boys like My Little Pony?
Absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, it's awesome. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. Although part of me did want to say, like, warn him, because If he mentioned that, some little turd is going to make fun of him.
Yeah, some boy out there is going to make fun of him.
Or girl. Yeah, so I kind of want to be like, well, but I hate that.
Well, it's totally, that's why you should be like, it's totally okay for a boy to like My Little Pony, but understand there's going to be people out there that may make fun of you because you do, but you know what?
But I don't want to tell them that.
But you know what? It doesn't matter if they do.
Because you're awesome.
Because if you like it, then that's what's important.
Yeah, and then so I was like, yeah, it's totally fine if you like My Little Pony. And he said, so...
Did you tell him Daddy likes it?
No. I may have, but I said... Or no, sorry. Then he asked, does that mean it's okay if I watch some of the episodes without my sisters?
Yeah, it is.
And I was like, yeah, it's totally fine. But we've talked about that. It's just sad to me that has become a societal thing.
Like he...
That you can't even watch a show that you like.
Like he hasn't even... No one has even told him or teased him or anything about that. But he still had that, like, oh, this is bright and cheerful, so it must be for girls.
Well, it's almost all girls in the cast, but just interesting. So yeah, that's the other thing, like with parenting, should I warn them that they could get made fun of, or should I just let it go?
Yeah.
That's a hard thing.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think we should warn our kids about things they like, be like, hey, you might get made fun of, but it's cool that you like that? Or do you think it's like kind of a reactive thing where instead of preparing for them, you react to it, to the actual teasing, and they'd be like, you know what? Yeah, that's too bad that you were teased about it, but it's still okay that you like it.
Yeah, like what is the more...
So are you proactive or are you reactive to warn your kids about things they like?
And which one builds...
And the possible teasing.
Which one builds their confidence better? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Like, is it better to just test it and see if they get made fun of, and hopefully because you've supported them in their likes that they'll just be cool with it.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's hard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Interesting.
So that was it was just funny how he asked, so it's okay if I watch it without my sisters? So yep.
Yeah. We had fun the other day. We went to a pool here in town, and our town's really, really cool because it has multiple outdoor pools and splash pads, but there's this one that's kind of like the little kid swimming pool. It doesn't get any deeper than 4 feet, and they still have like a big slide and a splashing area and everything, and it's really fun, and we had a blast taking our kids there. But man, are the lifeguards there and staff, they're kind of like mean. They're mean. Like, I don't mind being told not to do something. That's okay. As long as you're, like, you're nice about it. Be like, hey, you know what? we have rules that you can't do that. So could you please not do that? And be like, I'll be like, okay, totally. I'll make sure my kids don't do that. But no, they're like, hey, stop doing that. Tweet, tweet. I'll blow my whistle at you. Tweet, tweet. Stop doing that. And I'm just like, really? I'm just like, whoa.
For the record, most of the lifeguards were women. So I don't think they sounded like
oh,
that.
They did.
Hey, stop doing that.
They did in my ears anyway.
Okay, so we were complaining about this, about how they just need to talk nicer. But what's funny is last night we were talking to someone who manages some apartments.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I used to be really nice, but by the way I've been treated, now I'm just like, get out of there. Like, you're getting kicked out.
Yeah.
And it made me think of the lifeguards. Like, maybe at some point they were nice, right?
Yeah, maybe.
So maybe they've just become hardened and we need to be okay with that. So, I don't know. It was fun, though. Although, I have to say, it is funner to watch or to go to the pool with both parents instead of one. Because I don't like having to keep an eye on four children all by myself. I'm saying it was nice to divvy out kids. Because I only had to watch one and you had three. That's how it should be.
And our kids are currently being difficult for bedtime.
Oh, right now? Yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
And like always. So if you hear noise in the background, that's our kids not wanting to go to bed. So there you go.
And this is us ignoring them.
Parenting. We're doing a parenting podcast while our kids cry and whine in the background.
See, we know what we're doing.
Totally. So the 4th of July happened.
Woo!
Yay, fireworks!
Nice.
Yeah. So we had fun. We actually drove to a different city to spend our 4th of July. We had some friends in a neighboring city, so we went and spent lunch with some different friends, hung out with them, and then we drove around to kill some time because we were too early for the party. But eventually the kids, they were okay. So we went to the party. And it was awesome because they had a pool, so we got to swim. They had yummy food. And the cool thing about this party, though, is these people are serious.
They're crazy.
When it comes to the 4th of July. They literally spend, like, probably thousands of dollars on fireworks.
And hamburgers.
And food and drinks. And then their house is perfectly located to where you could still see the city fireworks. So they light off all their fireworks, and then, well, not all of them, until the city fireworks stop. Then we watch those, and then they light more fireworks afterwards. And it was like 9-something, and we still had an hour plus drive, and they were still lighting fireworks like crazy.
I thought you were going to say the best part of the party was that we didn't have to watch our kids.
That too.
That was the highlight for me.
That was pretty awesome.
Our kids finally can swim, and so we just dumped them in the pool and said, see you at the end of the party.
Yeah, they took care of themselves. I mean, we had to watch Jackson because he's little baby still, but...
But even so, he kind of just goes with the flow.
Yeah, he didn't really put himself in harm's way, but...
You kind of breeze through the day, though, because here's how I saw it as a grumpy, tired mom.
Oh, okay, grumpy, tired mom.
You said, we met a friend at the park, but what happened was, we got to the park and everyone was hot and whiny.
It was
so
hot.
So, we all complained.
It was really
hot.
We
dealt with our kids complaining, not wanting to play, then we left. Then, our kids were complaining because we were driving around too long, so we went to a mall, and they complained because we didn't have money to ride on the little thing. We didn't have quarters for the quarter machine. And then we drove around trying to put our one-year-old down for a nap. And he stayed awake for an hour, crying and whining. And then as soon as we pulled up to the party, he fell asleep in the car. Just in time for us to wake him up so he could be grumpy. That was really the sum of our day.
But you know what? The day was awesome.
No, the food was awesome.
The food was really good. Food was good. And it was great because we actually used to live in this city that we visited. And so we had a lot of old friends that we got to see at the party. And so that was a lot of fun too. And our kids were fish for the whole time. They were just they stayed in the pool the whole time. So,
although I hated having the 4th of July after we just watched that stinking video, that documentary we talked about last week, Fed Up, about how we're
all
fattening up everyone,
obese because of sugar, and here we are like sugar.
I know it was. I think I had a hamburger and my side dishes were cake and brownies, and then I was like, well, now I finished dinner, I need to go get dessert.
Yeah.
So then I had more cake, more brownies. I ate
way more dessert than you did, though.
Oh, but it was so good.
Yeah, it was.
That's why being skinny stinks. It's not even worth it because it doesn't taste good.
Happy people are
fat.
Oh, I'm not going to say fat, but we enjoy life more.
Well, I like this billboard that I saw at a gym in town that said, losing weight is hard. Being fat is hard. So which hard do you want to choose?
Yeah, make your choice.
And I was like, aw, I don't like that. But anyway, so I did like all the food. Aw,
life is hard.
Food is good. Why does it have to be so bad?
I know, right?
But yeah, so that was fun. It was fun to see. But what was annoying, I know I'm kind of making a sourpuss day of it, but what was annoying
party killer.
Is the 4th of July. Oh, sorry. I just stabbed you with a pen. The 4th of July is my favorite holiday. Always has been. And we've missed it for the last 2 years because we've been at this thing up in the mountains.
At a convention that I wanted to go to for the last 2 years.
So I've given up my favorite holiday for 2 years. So I was so excited to see fireworks again for first time in forever. So we sit down to watch the fireworks, and I'm like a little kid. And our kids. It was like we were making them watch a math video.
Yeah. They're like,
the first thing.
I'm going to go get a drink. I'm going to go get food.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Can I go get some food? I'm like, the sky is exploding. Do you not see that?
Enjoy it.
Or our oldest kid found a toad and he was like, Mom, look at this toad. I'm like, I'm watching fireworks. Come on. So that was kind of disappointing for me. But it was still fun. After we're like, yes, just go get food. Just leave me alone. I want to watch it.
Let me watch my explosions.
Because, of course, I had that dream where we're all going to sit together, watch the fireworks as a family, and grow emotionally together and closer.
You should know that doesn't work.
I know. That's not never even a thing. I know. I was like, leave me alone. Go get some more food. Go get some more sugar. So, but it was awesome. It was cute, though, because every time a firework exploded, our one-year-old kept trying to blow it out like a candle.
Yeah.
That's what we heard, every explosion. It was so cute.
It was cute.
But it was enjoyable. I had fun. I love my friends, so it was good.
It was good. But, yeah, that was our week. It was a pretty good one.
Although, one more thing is, this week, I had been given a gift card for Barnes & Noble. And I haven't been reading much lately, so I picked up two books at Barnes & Noble. And I was like, okay, I've been trying to spend more time with my kids and put them first. But oh my goodness, I started this novel and it was suddenly like, okay, this is now the most important thing in my life. Kids, go away. I want to read. And so
there's love and romance.
And history.
Oh, right, right.
But, so,
yeah, because that's the important part of the book.
Right, right. So I got sucked into this blasted book, and I kind of, my kids just disappeared. I was like, no, go outside. Mommy's busy. It's important. For days, like 2 or 3 days, I read two books. That shows you how much time I spent reading. 4 days, actually, I read these two big novels, and I never saw my kids. They never saw me. And so I was talking about that with a mom at the 4th of July yesterday. This older mom, she said that phrase that I hate more than anything.
Enjoy it while you can.
Enjoy it while you can, because it goes by so fast.
No, I want them to get older.
No, so I spilled it, and I was like, I just read two novels this week, and I totally blew off my kids, because the mom guilt was coming out.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, well, you know, sometimes you have to take care of yourself, too. And I was like, thank you.
thank you for understanding.
I feel better. So now I don't feel as guilty. That was nice to hear her say that.
So.
Last thing for the week.
Oh, yes. So We came home. It was after the pool that one day, and we,
it was Friday.
It was, yeah, and we, the kids went outside, and they found one of their precious turtles had died. And our children took it pretty hard.
Oh my goodness.
And
it was awful.
And like a dad, I was like,
let's throw it away.
Okay. I didn't say that, but I was ready to just throw it in the garbage.
I know. You're so logical. And it's dead. Let's get rid of it.
And then my wife is, Crystal's like, no, she's like, okay, let's get ready to bury it. And I was like, what? I'm like, bury it? I'm like, all we have is a garden shovel. I don't even have a big shovel.
Like a little trowel.
Little trowel shovel. And then I'm like, okay, all right. So I'm in there in my swimsuit still because we just came home from the pool.
You're grumpy.
And I was digging this hole for this.
Our kids are bawling and you want to just chuck it in the garbage?
Shh. But, and so I'm going and I'm digging and I'm almost done with my hole, right? And then I'm about ready to put the turtle in the hole, and then my wife comes out with a box. She's like,
a coffin.
She's like, you have to put it in the box. I'm like, what? How does that make sense? But
the 7-year-old got it.
But the 7-year-old wanted his turtle in a box. So I put it in the box, had to dig a bigger, deeper hole.
Oh, poor baby.
With a hand shovel. But eventually I did it, and he had a gravestone and everything, so.
I know. It was sad. It was way sad.
And then we blessed the grave and said a prayer over it.
I know. Well, what was funny is it totally reminded me of Cheaper by the Dozen, where they bury his toad.
Oh, right.
And the dad's giving, like, a eulogy.
Yeah, he's like.
And it was totally the same thing. Both of our kids are clinging to me, bawling, and Barry's like, well, this turtle is going to go to heaven. Or no, now turtle's in heaven. And he's going to be with his turtle family. And he's happy now. And I literally was chewing on my lip because I kept going. And I could feel my 7-year-old keep looking at me. So I had to like fake like I'm scared he's listening. I had to fake like I was crying because I was laughing so hard inside. It was terrible. I'm a terrible parent. So, we had a funeral. It was actually the second funeral our kids have ever been to.
The first one was a real funeral with a person.
It was just a great grandparent. That doesn't count. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so.
It was devastating. It really was. But it was amazing because the very next day our kids went outside and there was a brand new turtle right there on the porch, just waiting for him. It was like, thank you.
We didn't put the turtle there, if you're wondering.
God
that.
Did. For the poor sad child.
Maybe. So
it was a neat moment to me.
So yeah,
now he's good again.
Now we're good again.
We have another turtle to kill.
Nice. And I'll have another grave to bury.
Animal dig. Funerals. That's a new thing for us.
Yep. So, yeah, Crystal picked this week's topic, and I think it's a fantastic topic, but it's a topic that she can relate to that I can't necessarily relate to, but I will try to chime in with good comments here and there. So, honey, take it away.
Okay. Now, here's the reason why this one came to mind. Because we were listening to that book, Dad is Fat.
Which is funny. Go read it.
From Jim Gaffigan. And he was talking about his wife and how as they're having kids, she was doing all this cool stuff like directing a play or producing a play or something.
A children's play and like in New York. And
yeah, but the point is that he said he would tell people what she was doing. And he said they would look at her like, wait, you're doing all that? You're supposed to be home and miserable and hating life. Like, talking about what I was saying is, if you're a mom, you stay home and you're miserable. And that hit me so hard. Like, people really do look at it that way.
Yeah.
Because for us stay-at-home moms, well, frankly, it is miserable and lonely.
Can be.
So Jim Gaffigan, I mean, even though he's writing it in a silly light, it made me think, I just wanted to talk about depression because I guarantee if you're a stay-at-home mom, at some point you felt a little bit like you're drowning.
Of the mama blues.
The baby blues is always after you have a baby. But
well, this is the mama
blues. The mama blues. And so I found this one article talking about a poll, and it says...
Oh, I'm reading it.
Let me try that again.
Oh.
And it says...
It says, stay-at-home moms are more likely than moms who are employed outside the home to feel negative emotions such as worry, sadness, stress, and anger on a daily basis, as well as to have been diagnosed with clinical depression.
And here's the thing that really bugs me about that. Because they call those negative emotions, but that's all directed towards your children.
That's life.
That's, you're worrying about your kids. You're sad when your kids are sad or when they drive you crazy. Or you stress out about, like, am I making my kid fat? Are they, like, to quote Jim Gaffigan, are they going to try meth one day? You know, like, but it's, to me, all those negative, as they call it, emotions are selfless emotions. Whereas when
you can be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the way that I'm thinking of it.
Yeah.
You're directing all of those feelings and concerns and worries over these precious things that you're raising. So I guess, in a way, it's not, those aren't bad feelings, right?
Yeah. No, well, they're not bad feelings because they're, it's, you know, you can't experience life without those feelings. Like, you need to experience stress, sadness, anger, and so I guess the one thing that would separate it is that they say it on a daily basis.
Oh, that's well, what they, that's yeah, what they say. I go through the whole spectrum of all of those feelings every day, but it's because I'm just trying to be a good mom.
You're a mom?
So, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting that they're saying how bad it is because I guess with a job, generally you have a sense of, Jackson, come on, stop drumming. Generally when you're working, you have a sense of accomplishment and a sense of, like, you can see the, what's the word? You can see the progress instantly. You always see that you're doing something, it's getting better, it's getting finished. But with parenting, you have, like, 20 years down the road and you'll be able to see if you did a good job or not.
Yeah, you won't,
like,
you
it's
don't
rarely
know,
ever.
You don't know until they're out of the house.
And like, that's scary.
I succeeded. Oh, man, I didn't.
Yeah, so of course you're going to feel all these negative feelings because you don't know if you're doing a good job or not.
So.
It's kind of like when we went to that parenting class, our teacher said, yeah, your kids might be in therapy when they're grown-ups, but nobody loved you more than me.
That's right.
So I feel like it's just, that's what's scary is with the working, with the job, you can always see improvement and you can always get validation. You get paid. You know you're doing a good job. But
yeah.
With parenting, you're like, is my kid going to be crazy?
Does my kid love me?
Am I messing this up? So anyway, that was interesting. And then this is ridiculous to me.
So it says a census data released in 2009 showed that today's stay-at-home moms are more likely to be poorer, less educated, younger, Latina, and foreign-born than other moms.
And to me, I think that's interesting because I know a lot of super educated, awesome moms. To me, that makes you sound like you're...
That are rich.
Not rich,
well,
but...
we know some rich moms, too, though.
We do. But this just made it sound like people, like, most stay-at-home moms are the kind that take advantage of government programs and are lazy and, you know, teen moms and stuff. But all the moms I know are awesome and educated and super not any of those things that listed. So I disagree. But, so, here's the thing. Motherhood can be depressing, especially when you make motherhood your only identity. That's something I've had to learn.
Yeah.
Is I'm a mom, but I also love these things that are not motherhood based. And that, I think, makes a difference. So I looked up a few things on ways to beat stay-at-home mom blues.
Oh, the top 10 ways.
Yep, to banish the stay-at-home mom blues. And this is from tolovehonorandvacuum.com.
We'll have a link in the show notes.
Okay, so do you want to do number one?
Yeah. So it says, think outings, not hibernation. So basically it's saying that we have so much stuff at home that we have no reason to leave.
Yeah, well, she's saying we buy things like trampolines and game systems, yeah, so you don't have to leave.
So, yeah, the swing sets, trampolines, and all those things, and you have no reason to leave the home. And so when you're cooped up in your home, you know, that, you know, you have no sunshine, you aren't interacting with people, and so you can get lonely and depressed in that situation.
Now, the thing I disagree with is that on almost all these blogs that I've been reading or articles, it says take a daily outing. But holy smokes, I'm sure these people only have one kid, because I have four, and a daily outing does not make me less depressed.
Yeah.
It just makes me angry.
Stresses you out more. Be like, come on, let's go. And then you get to the park and everyone has fun, but then they're not having fun. And then it's really hard to get them back in the car. And then they're not happy and they're screaming. And yeah.
I know. So I think as I've gotten more kids, I like staying home.
I know, right?
I like to do a big outing every once in a while. But oh my goodness, since summer hit, and I have one extra kid at home, going to the store is like going to the dentist. Unlike you, who likes the dentist. I hate going to the dentist.
I do like the dentist. I think the dentist is
cool. But it's awful. Like, the store is the worst. I'm like, just stay by me or I'm going to dropkick you. But, I don't know. I think it's good to have outings, especially outings that make you happy.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do it daily. Sorry, blog people. I disagree.
Denied. All right, number two, enforce quiet time.
Let me just throw back my head and laugh at this one. Quiet time? What?
So, yeah, so it's a nice thought, and sometimes it can be successful, but it's just like, kids, why don't you go play in your room with your toys, and we'll have some quiet time, and yeah, no, kids want to be around you.
See, that's another thing. I have to believe that most of these are written with people with less kids.
Which is one kid. Because
they're like, do quiet time and then you can take a nap. I'm like, what is a nap?
I don't know what a nap is.
I haven't had one of those in years. But, well, except for today. And some
but the only reason she got a nap today is because I'm home.
I know. We tag team. But, yeah. There's no such thing as quiet time at our house.
Yeah, it doesn't exist, people.
I've just learned to...
And if you have a lot of kids, and you have accomplished quiet time...
Good for you.
Good for you, and let us know your secrets. All right, number three, get adult stimulation. And what it means by that is that go out and interact with other human beings that are your age.
I love human beings that are my age.
So, you know, go have play dates with other kids, but then socialize with the moms and talk with them and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah, and I've talked about this before, is that for a while, I was trying to go to story time at the library and go to music time and all this stuff. And I was always, like, just trying to get the kids to do the activity and get involved. But every Friday, we go to Burger King. And that has been the boon to my soul because our kids go off and play. And I can just sit around with the moms. And it's a win-win situation for all of us because I get to talk to adults. But my kids are entertained. So I think that's something is if I'm going to give my advice, is to find things where you feel edified and you are uplifted and not just trying to do busy work for your kids. Because yes, that sucks your soul. I always feel so depressed after going to things where I was like, sit down, just play along with the music, dance. You know, it's stressful.
Yeah.
That is a negative feeling.
Sorry.
So.
Number four.
Find friends.
Find friends, that's number three. But number four, start a hobby. So It says, adult stimulation isn't all we need. We also need intellectual stimulation, something that gives our brain a creative outlet. So it's just talking about, you know, in this it talks about knitting, but we don't knit. I guess we could start the knitting, but...
No. I don't like anything that takes a long time.
I guess our hobby is podcasting.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I like to read, I like to write music, play music.
You like to build stuff.
Be creative. I like to pretend to build stuff. So, I think here's something that I've learned, including myself, is the moms that I meet who complain the most or seem the most down, they don't do anything. They don't have any hobbies. And I always want to say that. Usually I ask, what do you do for yourself? And they're always like, I don't have time for myself. I'm like, that's the problem.
Be like, I don't do anything. Be like, there's your red flag right there, people.
I know. Find something. And that's sometimes, I mean, I feel like every once in a while I can tell I'm feeling down.
Okay.
And I have to think.
Can I say something here?
Uh-oh.
So, husbands, if you are listening, let your wife go out. Watch your kids, and even if you have one or multiple, and don't let them just go out for an hour and then demand them to come back home. You are a father of the children. You can handle watching your kids for a few hours. Your wife does it all day long. Give her a night out every once in a while, and don't tell her to come home at a certain time. Tell her to stay out as long as she wants.
Just do what Barry does. Pop a movie in and then go play games yourself.
What? That's how I roll.
That's how daddy's when
Crystal says, I want to go out and be like, okay, go, go. That means game time for daddy.
Yeah, ignore the kids. Go play a game.
So, hey, they're stimulated. They have a show and food.
Okay, and here's the other thing. Moms. Trust your dang husband.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before, but that is my biggest pet peeve. Like, well, my husband can't put the kids to bed because he doesn't know what to do. I'm like, who cares? If he puts them in bed with their clothes on, you're going out tonight. Woohoo!
Yeah.
That's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
So there's our wise, sage advice.
Us getting on our soapboxes and saying, step it up, people. Trust each other. Husbands, let your wives go out. Wives, trust your husbands.
Or just, even if you don't trust them, just trust that they won't kill them.
That's right.
That's all you gotta ask for.
Yeah.
So, next one is learn something.
Learn something. Isn't that kind of like starting a hobby, though?
Well, I don't know. Because it says, pick a topic this year that you want to master. Maybe it's more in-depth Bible knowledge. Maybe it's nutrition, cooking, investing, politics. Maybe it's building a blog. So think of something you've always wanted to learn and jump in. Now, I like this one because once for book club, we read this book that wasn't a novel. It was actually a
book about morticians.
What's a not novel? I don't usually read those.
A book?
A nonfiction book. Yeah, it was called Stiff, The Extraordinary Life of Cadavers. And my friend picked this book, and at first I was like, you are sadistically weird and crazy for picking this
weird
death book.
Death book about bodies.
But I read it, and I learned so much. And it, seriously, I feel so excited and energized, like, holy cow, I'm learning so much about dead people. And for weeks, it was like, it was my conversation starter. Every person I met, I was like, hey, did you know this about cadavers? And it always sparked really interesting conversations. And it seriously carried me through for, like, months. And so I can totally understand why. Like, I'm not everything you learn is going to be something you want to talk about, but it just makes you excited. And you want to learn more, and it's very validating. So I totally get that. More than hobbies, learning is exciting to me.
There you go. Learn something. Number six, give yourself a sense of accomplishment. So, you know, not often do your children praise you or say that you're doing a good job. So
that's for sure.
So, and sometimes you don't feel like you're accomplishing anything.
That's for sure.
So it's important to, like, either have a project, or maybe it's part of your hobby, or maybe it's part of learning something. But to like have a goal and then achieve that goal, it could be a little thing, but accomplishing that little thing will make you feel so good and it'll pump you up to want to do more things. So if you're struggling with that, start with something little, right?
I would say yes.
Okay.
This is our own. It doesn't necessarily say start with little, but I think it's basically saying we feel like we're drowning with the mundane things of life, with drowning, with laundry, dishes. So do things out of your home that give you that sense of accomplishment, because you're going to do the laundry, you're going to feel great, and then 5 minutes later, your kids just changed out of 3 different outfits and peed on them and got them muddy, and suddenly the laundry needs to be done again. So I like it says, you changed it.
Oh, sorry.
Like it says, volunteer somewhere, lend a hand to people that are struggling, also that feel struggling as parents, invite people over for coffee, have a little luncheon, that kind of stuff. But I think you could set little goals, like when I clean my room and it looks good, holy smokes. That's a really rare thing.
It does feel good.
It makes me feel really good. Even though I hate cleaning my room. It's like the pit of...
It's the black hole of our house.
It eats everything.
That's right.
The dumping grounds. So, I don't know. Think about it.
So, 7 is get organized. So, it says have a schedule. Let's see. I don't want to read it verbatim, but she says, I know this is difficult, but as much as possible, create a schedule for your week. Know when you will go where. Go grocery shopping the same day each week. Go to the library on the same day. Try to keep nap time at the same time. Nap time. when kids know what to expect, you know what to expect, there's far less whining.
I totally disagree about this one again, because I am not organized. But I'm not depressed, so I think it's okay. I mean, sometimes I get depressed, but I was talking about this with some friends of mine. There's two of my friends and I all have 4 kids. And we were talking about how it's so funny when parents who only have 1 kid or something, they say, oh, I can't come hang out with you at that time because it's nap time. Or
yeah.
We can't have that meeting because it's nap time. And all of us laugh because by the 4th kid, you're like, nap time happens when I say it happens.
That's right.
Like, if my kid's tired, tough. He's going to come with me and we're going to go hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't matter. I mean, it should matter. We sound kind of heartless. But it's just different. I think having lots of kids, you just
beaten down.
No, I'm not saying beaten down. I'm just saying that
we give up.
Things that are important to people with less kids are not as important to us. But I like to go to the store when I feel like going to the store. And I don't know. I think it's important to be organized about some things. Like routines are super important.
Yeah.
Like morning routine, bedtime routine. Those are solid. But I'm not going to schedule my whole day. Just saying.
All right. Next one says clean every day.
It's another one where I throw my head back and laugh.
So it says don't let the house get out of control, because that's just depressing. And so it's saying when you live in a clean environment, you feel less depressed.
Okay.
But I think it's funny because the picture they have on the website is this woman screaming in outrage because she needs to clean. But there's like...
a teddy bear?
There's like 5 things on the floor and a teddy bear on the couch.
I know. I like, say sit down.
That's so dirty.
I know. Sit down and watch some TV, lady. Your house isn't that bad.
That's right.
Okay. Now, I do agree with this one. But for years, I've been trying to figure out how to keep my house spotless all the time. And that is not doable. And that's something I've learned, that for some reason, stay-at-home moms, or all moms, all parents, think that that is normal, that when you go to someone's house and it's spotless, you're like, oh, my house isn't like this. I'm a failure.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I've had to drop my expectations a lot.
Mainly because of me.
What does that mean?
Meaning just like, honey, it's okay. No one cares.
Oh, right. It's all you. No, I've actually met some awesome moms, but that don't care. So here's my goal. You can take it or leave it. My goal is that I will never be embarrassed by the state of my house if someone dropped by for an unexpected visit.
Unexpected, yeah.
So for me, I keep my house in a state that isn't embarrassing, but it's not going to be spotless. And that's been working for me. Because I've had people drop by, and it's the best feeling in the world to be like, oh, hey, come on in. Don't mind the laundry, but everything else is okay. There might be toys everywhere, but that's been a huge relief.
Yeah.
I don't always make it. Sometimes it's a disaster, but that's my goal. My mediocrity goal is to just not be too bad.
Yeah. Number 9, have something special to do with your kids. Says, no one likes kids pulling at you or whining at you all day. But
that's my favorite.
But often that whining is caused by two things, loneliness and boredom. The boredom can be cured by daily outings. The loneliness needs some
daily
focused mommy time. She says, for me, my kids, that meant reading. And so it's just saying, have special one-on-one time, basically, with your kids.
We've talked about that before.
And I think that's important.
Okay, but here's the other thing. Is boredom is not your problem.
It's not your problem.
It's your kid's problem.
If you're bored, you have a room full of toys.
I know.
Go play.
Yeah. Send them to their room, and I guarantee you 30 minutes later, they will find something to do.
You know, sometimes we're just like, we just turn off the TV. Like, no more TV. You know, yeah, they're upset for the first 15, 20 minutes.
And you want to tear your hair out. That's where the depression comes in, right there.
But afterwards, they're like, they're having fun, they're playing, they're laughing, they're giggling, and so.
Yeah, I think that is a myth that parents have to keep their kids entertained. That's the thing with the daily outings. Like, that's not my job to always stimulate my child.
Yeah, I don't.
And if you live like that, you're going to go totally depressed.
I am a parent, I'm not an entertainer.
No, I mean, it's good to play with your kids and do fun things, but not all the time. It's not your job.
You don't have to be constantly stimulating their brains.
Right. They can stimulate their own brains.
We're bored too, okay? And I'm dealing with it.
Right.
All right. The last one, it says, do something wild and crazy. What do you feel about this one?
Well, I don't know. Because it says, some days I'd like to wake up and say, who wants to go to the zoo? Who cares if it's only an hour and a half away? Let's go.
I do, because that costs money.
I know. I was like, so basically, do something crazy is to spend money and probably not have that much fun as a parent. If you're alone.
Yes.
Sometimes we like to go crazy, but personally, wild and crazy would be like, hey, I'm going to go get a babysitter and go shopping. Alone!
Woo!
That's the thing. Did I even mention having alone time?
No.
What is wrong with these people? Disregard everything we just said. They don't want you to be alone. They want you to do wild and crazy things that cost money with your kids? I don't think so.
Yeah. No, it doesn't say give your... Well, I guess starting a hobby could be considered your me time. But yeah, I think that should be, yeah, definitely.
Now,
have alone time.
Here's the thing. The most interesting people I've known are, I had a mom friend a while ago, and at the time I thought she was crazy, but she said, hey, I just bought a cello. And I was like, oh, did you play in high school? And she's like, nope, but I'm going to learn. And I remember thinking, that is the weirdest thing in the world. I was a new parent. I didn't get it. And so she started taking cello lessons, and she was so happy. And talk about instant validation. Like, you can learn a note and suddenly you know something you've never known before. And I have another friend that picked up the violin or, you know, make this awesome blanket. And those are always the ones that are way less depressed than the other ones that spend all their free time complaining about how hard life is.
That's right. Stop complaining.
So do some, that's wild and crazy. Go buy a really expensive instrument and learn it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or write a novel. Write a poem. Do something awesome.
Boom.
I think what it comes down to is we put way too much pressure on ourselves to be perfect, and that's not a real thing. So in my opinion, lower your standards. real low.
Be real. Yeah.
And you'll feel better. Just saying.
All right.
Hopefully this gives you ideas on how to fix your own problems.
Or if you have other ideas about how to battle your depression, we'd like to know. Or if you have stories that you'd like to share with us, let us know too. We'd love to start up a conversation with you, and you could just leave that on our Facebook page.
I should say one more thing.
Okay.
And sometimes it does take medical help.
Yes.
Some people need medication, and that's okay. That doesn't make you bad either.
Nope, because if you have clinical depression, that means you need to see a doctor and get some meds.
And by getting meds, you're still being a great parent.
That's right.
Don't beat yourself up.
Exactly. All right.
All right.
Thank you for listening to The Clown Car, parenting as hard as we have always discussed. And we think you should get a gold star just for trying.
Oh, sorry. I was taking a drink.
Taking a drink.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a great, great job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe.
Subscribe.
Rate. Review.
Review.
Our show on iTunes. Until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.